The Glorious Church is a reflection of God's beauty, character, and nature. The Glorious Church is God's workmanship, created for good works, light for a dark world, and salt for the earth. The Glorious Church must be pure and impactful, for it is the only institution mandated to bring life and hope to the nations. Plug in to the annual theme of the Church of Pentecost for 2020. A glorious church to possess the nations. Come, let us drink deep from the word through which we are being cleansed and washed to become a radiant church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, God's timely word for our dying world.
Gladdens my heart to start a series as part of our theme or subtopics for the theme for the year. As you all know, this year we're talking about building a glorious church to possess the nations. And leadership is very much concerned about character, how we package ourselves out there as Christians. After having sat through this week, what happens tomorrow? If you go to work tomorrow and nothing spectacular happens with regards to changing attitude and the way of doing things, then what was the essence of this 1 week? Therefore, permit me this morning to walk you through a path so that we'll touch some sensitive areas, some aspects of life where we itch most, where we try to sweep under the carpet and behave as if nothing is happening. The world out there is waiting for us. After all this gathering, they expect a lot from us. So this morning, I'm sharing with you the part one of my series under the topic, Living a Life of Integrity as a Christian. Living a Life of Integrity as a Christian. It's in four parts. Come with me to Genesis chapter 27 and verse 22. My quotations will be between ESV and NIV. Genesis 27, 22. The voice is the voice of Jacob. But the hands are the hands of Esau. A father is struggling. A son is standing in front of the father. The guy speaks. The father is struggling because he wants to bless somebody. They ask the son to draw closer. He came closer. He touches the young man. And this man is struggling. The voice is the voice of Jacob. But the hands are the hands of Esau. There must be real correlation between our voice in our hands. When we speak and we appear, it should be the same. Proverbs 10 verse 9 reads, Proverbs 10, 9. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. Beloved in Christ, as we seek to possess the nation, one way the church can cause Christ glorifying societal transformation to ensure that each member is living a life of integrity as a Christian because of the name that is on us. Because we are called from a group of people and we sat under an open heavens and the power has come mightily on us. So what are we doing? So in my presentation, we'll try to engage ourselves with the Christian life of integrity as opposed to corrupt practices in our system. Our attempt to raise some critical issues for our consideration to help us position ourselves as true and real agents of transformations in the home, at our workplaces, on the streets, wherever we find ourselves. Our attempt to define what integrity is, and then why the need for us to go out there and show lives of integrity. We try to look at some dynamics of corruption in our society and the response that is expected from us. Beloved, the world out there is counting on us. We hope and pray that in some few days to come, some of us will identify ourselves and be counted among those who are standing tall with regards to people who are walking in integrity, like Noah. It was said about Noah in Genesis 6, 9b that Noah was a righteous man. Genesis 6, 9b. Noah was a righteous man. The only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close relationship with God. It means all other men were doing their own things. They didn't care about the precepts and the standards set by God. But for Noah, may it be said about you that things are not going on well. Everybody is doing his or her own things. But for you, you are blameless. Noah was a righteous man. Then there is this young man whose life challenged God himself to invite trouble for him. My old friend Job. Job 1:1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. I'm praying that not too soon, Ghanaians will say, there is a man, Kumilabi, who is the general secretary of the Church of Pentecost. He's blameless, upright, and walks in the precepts of God. May that be said of you. Then when we get there, we might have arrived, and we really can boast that we are possessing the nation. But not until we get there. And people just say, is he also among them? Is that all that we need? All there is in churching, jumping and clapping, receiving prophecies which are not fulfilled, prophecies of doom every 31st night. Is that all we need? No. We need men and women who will descend from the mountain and walk like Jesus did. We need small Jesuses all over the place. People who are upright, blameless, and people who fear God. Because heavens have been opened unto us. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. Daniel 6, 3 to 5. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the governors of the provinces by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the governors tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But, let them meet and plan, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. And my final quotes for now. It's what Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, Acts 20:33. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. I, standing before you, congregation, I have never schemed, manipulated, misappropriated anything. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Beloved, in this dark world of corruption, we need men and women who stand tall like the Jobs, the Noahs, the Daniels, the Pauls, and others, who are righteous, blameless, upright, trustworthy, not corrupt, not negligent, and not covetous, because there is a dire need for Christians of integrity. The nations are crying. Our coffers are leaking and bleeding. We can't sit in a nation when individuals are richer than the community or the society. No. If there are no Christians, then fine. One of the most important aspects of human relationship is the issue of integrity. We are living at a time when integrity has been violated through a lot of scandals we read. And therefore, the message of the gospel seems to lose substance. When we preach, people don't seem to appreciate what we are saying. Unless we talk about miracles. With that too, they don't care how it is packaged. If they ask me to remove their panties to be bent so that they receive their miracles, fine. They don't care about the way they conduct themselves. We need men and women who are blameless. The word integrity means wholeness, faultless, perfection, simplicity, completeness, and sincerity. This is opposed to corruption, scheming. As a structural engineer, I like using this analogy. In structures, there's something we call structural integrity. After 10, 15 years, we have to test this building. Engineers will come and analyze and test it to see whether all the beams and the columns are well fitted and can still carry the load. So we say a structure has integrity when it is sound and fit for purpose. Therefore, a Christian or a man or woman who is of integrity should be sound, reliable, and fit for purpose. You are the salt and the light at the place. So if the salt is there and there is corruption, it is not fit for purpose. When the light is there and darkness overcomes it, then it is not fit for purpose. Are we dependable? Beloved, in our age and our generation, we need men and women with integrity. People who cannot be bought. They cannot sell their conscience. People who will not compromise with wrong. People who will walk the talk. People who are whole, whose voices correlate their hands. They don't say this and do that. They don't set different standards for people and live under different rules. Unfortunately, our nation lacks such people, even in the church. That's why Paul says that leaders must be above reproach. Above reproach. As for a leader and as a Christian, there shouldn't be an instance where people will be struggling to know who you are. No, we've gone past that. When we appear, we have appeared. That's all. Finito. Once he's there, we are saved. That's all. Can he do it? or you can't do it. Let them scheme. But for us, let's stand like Daniel. So that whatever they do, they will come to the conclusion that as for this man, we can't find anything. He's neither corrupt. One of my dear uncles, Kofi Otutulabi, who is a prolific writer and a retired banker, has said that, and let me quote, "Integrity is a virtue most needed in our country. Just imagine the quality of roads we'll have. To cite only one example. If all involved in roadworks applied integrity and used the requisite standards in the execution of those projects, integrity comes with a cost. You may lose some opportunities for refusing to compromise or bend the rules, but it has its rewards. And those rewards can be generational, to the advantage of your children and children's children. Your life of integrity will also save you when falsely accused of wrongdoing. Even when your avowed enemies want to plan evil, they cannot find anything." Unquote. Because Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." Two things. People who are men and women of integrity, their hearts guides them. But shrewd and treacherous people will be found out. It is clear. We can't hide it. Corruption is an issue. It is clear. Christians are in the majority. You wonder why there's traffic on Sunday. Everybody is going to church. It means we have the numbers. But what do you consider as corruption? Is that what you read in the news? Is it about like large-scale fraud? Some illegal activities? Is it about a policeman on the streets? No. What about the movements of dishonesty in church and leadership? And the so-called quiet lies and small misdemeanors? We all see these things every day. Let me bring you home, as Ghanaians especially. Why were we taught that one fans are pine and crying in fear? Why? Just last Thursday, I was in the Kropon and the Manfi chief, after I was spoken on service with integrity to the Ghana Police Service, were there to commission the police station. Then he was sitting by me and he said, "Osofo Alpha, we also can wear example, no?" So he came publicly and said this: "We are corrupting the chieftaincy because of this. Everybody going to the palace wants to go with something. It's an act of corruption, trying to buy people, the mind of people in authority. So why were we told, say, your fans are fine and crying if you to wait, you don't visit the palace empty-handed? So in our system, everybody wants to pay something to the boss. We are not frowning on gifts, but the intention and the morality aspect of it. Because we are told, enfants are fine and crying. The reason is that the king or the chief will always sit in judgment. So whenever you go there, pacify the gods. It's unchristian. And then, openi bia nifo. So we don't challenge the elders. Damn what they do. No matter what, so far he's the boss, we don't talk. Openi nifo. So we are living under duress. We see evil around our elders and we can't talk. May the church arise. May Christians stand and take their prophetic voice and peg the nation of all evil. And then this one, very interesting. Why do you give small boys and girls gifts? Sweets. Sweets. Somebody hits a young boy, small boy, and he or she wants to cry. Then we give the person sweets. Another big one. You are going to Accra. Church, are you here with me? Am I communicating? You are going to town and a young man wants to go with you. What do you say? You don't want to go with a young boy. What do? Go and change your singlet. This one is not fit. You say, I'm going to visit GS. This one is. So go and change your dress. By the time the young man comes, does he come to meet you or not? Is it yes or yes? It is yes. You are gone. It's an act. We think it's a white lie. But the child grows up and becomes corrupt. He doesn't see wrong from right. For him, whatever you do, that will let you have your way, is right. So the guy goes there. Sometimes he's smart. He brings what? Oh, anyway, but I couldn't say trying to connect, you know. And then some of us, if we don't owe bicycle tie, but we tell our children, oh, you keep cool. When I go to Mokola, I'll buy you aeroplane. Meanwhile, we don't sell aeroplane, I'll buy Mokola. And the innocent child will also say, fine. Have you ever said or told some of these lies? All these feed into what we are seeing. So there is a dire need for some of us to change that status quo. Let's shake the system. We'll suffer. But for Christ's sake, because we want to build a glorious church. Otherwise, let's forget about this glory. Because the glory brings distinction. Distinction. That's why Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, we will not go, because what will make us distinct from the other nations? Is it not because you are with us? And God said, I'll go with you, and my goodness will go with you, and I'll declare my name before you. When the glory comes, you must be distinct. Let me give you this quote from an anonymous person. On delving deeper in discussing corruption, it becomes apparent that it is far more prevalent than we may choose to realize. And that when we are bystanders, watching without acting, we are in fact colluding with the corruption. When we are dishonest ourselves, we blind ourselves not only to what corruption is, but also to the corruption around us. As our corruption antenna are dulled, we see and behave as if we've not seen. Beloved, talking about this, I'm not talking about giving bribes or taking bribes, though that is one aspect of it. I'm talking about the depravity of humanity. The innate corruption of the human being. Our moral corruption and wickedness. So don't just think about people giving and others receiving. Because according to Boster, he says, corruption is the misuse of a public office or authority for private or personal gains. As the general secretary of the church, am I using that office to amass wealth? As an area head, am I using my position to amass wealth? When I'm appointing somebody to become the women's leader, what goes through my mind? Is it what I will get? Why am I playing some drafts, the transfers? Is it to my benefit? Buster says, corruption is the misuse of public office or authority for private or personal gains. Another man, Bauer, also says, bribery, nepotism, and resource misappropriation are forms of corruption. You can talk about over-invoicing and under-invoicing in Ghana. This thing, procurement breaches, is one devil that is haunting our nation, from churches, office places. And my mother used to say that, Sosuma Obi, no, a small crowd. It will be on a small crowd. Because I won't say, or then if you are with a young person or somebody around you and it's a good errand person, ask yourself whether the person always brings the balance. Is it not because of the one CD that he's pocketing? People inflate and deflate figures. And then let's look at what the Corruption Perception Index released, not the one that is in contention. 2018 one. Let me give you some story or some information. The Corruption Perception Index released for 2018 indicates that more than two-thirds of the 180 countries scored below 50, with an average score of 43. Then when we come to Africa, only 6 countries scored 50 or above. Seychelles, 66, Botswana, 61, Cape Verde, 57, Rwanda, 56, Namibia, 53, Mauritius, 51. And where is Ghana? And it says that 6 out of the last 10 are from Africa, with Somalia being the last. And then Ghana is competing with Burkina Faso at position 78. Out of 180, Ghana is competing with Burkina Faso, despite all the churches, despite all the numbers and the prophecies. Out of 180 countries, we couldn't compete with any other than our neighbors, Burkina. But we tend to be more Christians than them. And our brothers, Ivory Coast 105th, Togo 129, and Almighty Nigeria 144, with 27 points. And the good country, or the best countries, are Denmark first, New Zealand second, Finland third, Canada 9th, and Germany 10th. Why am I saying these things? Because the chairperson, chairlady, Delia Ferrari Rubio, has said corruption is more likely to flourish where democratic foundations are weak. Where undemocratic and populist politicians can use it to their advantage. So when the people are in the dark and those in authority don't want them to see what is right and they don't want them to speak their mind and say, opening a mistake, they use that to do whatever they want to do. And their sister organization in Ghana, Ghana Initiative Consortium, says bribery, embezzlement, fraud, favoritism, extortion, illegal contribution, nepotism, conflict of interest, abuse of discretion, and payment of facilitation fees are all forms of corruption. Have you ever given 5 Ghana cedis to a policeman so that you can go fast? Where is the salt in the land? Beloved, there's nothing like small lies. Who? Because we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And Bible says we should let our light so shine so that people will see our good works and give glory to God in heaven. Small corruption leads to big corruption. We started small, and that's where we are. And some nations, last time I was studying the Ghana police, you go to Germany, where I was schooled, the police is the law. The police in Germany is the law. They are the standard. If you're on the highway and they come very fast, you dare not slow down. You don't know what is happening. Quickly, you have to move on. They are the standard. And here, we are locked in a traffic jam. The siren will be blowing. And the policeman comes, instead of shorting us, he shorts himself and goes. Meanwhile, where is he going? Maybe he's going to pick the boss's child from school. So instead of him organizing us to help us sort ourselves at the traffic jam, he will leave us there and go. Is it not true? Why do you have traffic lights all over, yet there is traffic jam when the lights are on? Because of where we are coming from. Using work resources for private work. We have people in the church who do that. Photocopying, taking office stationery home. Using office equipment for private jobs. without permission, showing figures that will please our bosses so that we can be promoted. After under open heavens, no, you can't do that. The spirit will find you out. The glory will not be shown. Looking on unconcerned when people are doing whatever they want to do. Are we willing to see corruption? But our refusal to identify and deal with it also amounts to corruption. Where is the stand of the church? Beloved, let me pose this nagging question. At the end of every month, when you receive your paycheck, ask yourself whether you deserve it as a Christian with regards to your work contract. You sign a contract, I'll come to work 8 to 5 p.m. But you go to work at 10 and closes at 3. And you expect full salary. So somebody has said, the employers are pretending to be paying us, so we also pretend to work. If the employer is a Christian, he should pay well. Leave him alone. Yours is to fulfill your part of the contract. After the interview, you were sent an appointment letter and you accepted. And one of the terms was that you come to work at 8 and close at 5. 12 to 1 is break. Go to our ministries. 11 o'clock, they are on break. 11 o'clock, they are on a break. And they come at 3. And they come and pack and go. Are there Christians at the office? If it's yes, then we have a problem. Do you deserve the monies you receive? Beloved, the nation is counting on us. And God is looking up to us. So we raise the next generation. People who are blameless, upright, and ready to serve their nation. We are all involved. And therefore, we don't want to speak about it. But the church is ready to fix it. And we are ready to lead our crusade. The men and women of God arise and embrace ourselves to challenge the evil in the land. And I like what our dear IGP just said. It's at Ghana Web, dated 8 January 2020. He's a proud member of our church. And soon after he was confirmed, he started throwing missiles at his people. Because the Ghana Police Service has consistently topped every corruption perception index organized by the Afrobarometer people. So the IGP comes and speaking at the National Anti-Corruption Action Plan Sensitization, this is what he said. May I mention here that for the first time in the history of the Ghana Police Service, the Central Disciplinary Board of the service has had no backlogs. Unlike the days where an officer could get involved in a situation and is either interdicted or is suspended or his case is tended and the fire can be here for 5 to 6 years. So for him, a police officer commits a crime and the file is there and they sit on it. Once he came, he said, no way. Once the file comes, I'll deal with it. I said it last Thursday and he supported. He was there. I said it because I quoted him and he was happy. He's a member of our dear church. He has started a crusade. And he says that there is an adage that a fish starts rotting from the head. And therefore, it is appropriate to get our senior officers involved with the fight against corruption. Since we are the head, and we have no choice but to work very hard to address the perception of corruption, if we are to remain relevant as a law enforcement institution in the country. And I can assure you that the police institution is resolved to see this through. This is a Christian. And we assure him all our support. Even if he stays there for 1 year, you send a signal that the Christian was here. What are you doing about the things at your office? Where you sit. And things around you are in a mess. And you are okay. You organize morning devotions all right at the office. And after the morning's devotion, things still don't work and you are okay. No. No, it can't work and it shouldn't continue. After an encounter, it shouldn't continue. Why do roads deteriorate so soon? Beloved, as Christians and men and women of God, when we are given an assignment, something to execute, it behoves us to stand tall. In our marriages, there should be honesty. At our workplaces, there should be no fault found about us. Wherever we are, people must see us as men and women of integrity, because Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace. That's why we are in this mess. We have chosen the path of sin. We have chosen the path of corruption. We've just taken church as a garment. We put the church on. But when we go home, we remove the church and put the world on. This can't continue. Church is not a garment. Christianity is a way of life. It's not a religion. If somebody's in Christ, he becomes a new creation. A new creation. Not a rehabilitated building. Not a refurbished. Not a rebranded. A new creation. He's been turned inside out. Upside down. So he lives the presence of God. Justified. Cleansed. Sanctified. Unto good works. Why have most of us chosen the path of corruption? The problem is all over us. And Warren Buffett has said that if you meet any person, look for three things: intelligence, energy, and integrity. If they don't have the last one, don't even bother about the first two. Intelligence, Ghanaians we are. Energy, look at the way, the time our women wake up. Our mothers wake up at 4 a.m. and come home around 12 midnight. Hard-working Ghanaians. We are smart. We are knowledgeable. When we travel outside, we excel. But where is the integrity? Warren Buffett says, look for three things in a person: intelligence, energy, and integrity. If you don't find the last one, don't even bother about the first two. So Ghana, we have chosen the path of intelligence. We have chosen the path of hard work and strength and energy. But where is the integrity? The guy is working hard. He's staying into the deep night at the office. From 6 to 8, he's still at the office this evening. He's trying to change things. He's trying to massage figures. We have to work with our hearts, not only with our head. There is this young man I met in the Bible whose life challenged me, and I want us to walk through that. Uriah. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 27. I wouldn't read. 2 Samuel 11, 1 to 27. Bible says that Uriah was a Hittite. David, instead of going to war, did not go to war. And he messes up and sleeps with Uriah's wife. Then, in order to cover his sins, he calls for David to come home. So David comes home, he asks him about what is going at the war front, he briefs him, and because he wanted to cover his sins, he asks Uriah to go home and sleep. But Bible says Uriah didn't go, he slept with the laborers on the corridors. The next morning, David asks him why he didn't go, and Uriah said he couldn't do that because the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go home and enjoy myself? I dare not do that. So here, Uriah confronts his boss, And he said that, as for this one, I can't do it. And then the next level, David becomes mad. Then he writes his death warrant. So two issues here. Uriah was loyal to his assignment, his boss, Joab. He wanted to remain focused until he has completed the assignment. Therefore, he didn't want any distractions, any pleasures that would let him lose focus. After having won that, David himself knew that Uriah was a man of integrity. So he writes his death warrant and hands it over to him. Uriah, take this. He didn't know what was inside, but David knew. Why was David bold enough to give this letter to Uriah? He knew he was a trustworthy person, was an honest person, was a dependable and a reliable person who would never open the letter. And this man carries his death warrant. Beloved, how many of us can do that? When something has been given to you and it is sealed, and you are not supposed to open it, and it concerns you, this man carries it to the war front. Joab reads it, and it pushes him to where the fight was hard and difficult, and they withdrew, and he kept on fighting without complaining till he died. Beloved in Christ, the battle out there is not easy. They will set traps. They will say, everybody is doing it. Are you the only Christian around? What do I want to know? No. Yes. If for them, they think they can behave anyway, for you, you can't. Because you've had an encounter, there has been a transformation, and you've been sent out there to change things. So for Uriah, he couldn't retreat, no surrender, until victory is won, he was pushing on. They didn't appreciate or accept the bargain from his boss. Then he carries his own death warrant. Beloved, can you be trusted to that level? When money is given to you unaccounted, and they just give it to you, and you bring it intact. Like Ezra told the people, you are holy. The articles too are holy. Carry them. When you come, we'll count them in the presence of the elders. And the people did that. We should be people who are dependable. People of high trust. People who not care about themselves, but care about the well-being of the whole society. Colossians 3:22-25, as I conclude, says that bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleases, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, beloved, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord, for the wrong will receive their reward. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he does. And with God, there is no partiality. So as we wind up, beloved, we shouldn't work as eye service, men pleasers, boot lickers. We must be sincere. Our motives and our conscience must be clear with regards to whatever we are doing. There should be no skeletons in our cupboard as Christians. And we should have at the back of our mind that we are working for the Lord and not for human beings. You meet the Rechabites in Jeremiah 35, and they say that their forebears told them not to drink. And because they wanted to remain true to the directives of their forebears, even the prophets, couldn't deceive or cause them to change their minds. This morning, where are you? How are you living your life as a Christian? You were called out from the darkness, and you've had an encounter with the Lord. He has transformed you, and He's releasing you back into the system. All around us is corrupt, but God is counting on us to stand tall. It has been shown that government programs and legislations alone cannot change corrupt society. Christians are the salt needed in our time. If you have few Christians who want to show the light, we'll be sure the transformation that we need in our society will surely come to pass. Don't forget, people with integrity walk safely. Are you secure? If what you do comes to light, will God be glorified? Even as we sit here, if our minds were to be opened and were to see our thoughts, yeah? If it becomes a screen and all our thoughts were to be rolled and were to see it one by one, will somebody here be ashamed? Or will be happy that what we are thinking and planning glorifies God? We must endeavor to live our life devoid of hypocrisy, double standards, dishonesty, and duplicity. People should not struggle to see who we are. It should be clear. Charles Spurgeon has said that, do right if heaven itself should grieve. If the skies should not be propped except by a lie, let them fall. Do right, even if heaven itself will grieve. Forget about what people will say. Even look at them. If God himself will grieve that you are doing the right thing, Charles Spurgeon is challenging us to do that. If the skies were to come down, if they were not supported with lies, if we were to remove all columns and replace it with lies so that heavens will stand, don't be one of the columns. Let the skies fall, because you are an honest person. Beloved, we are Christians. Beloved, we've been bought with a price. Therefore, don't let us cheapen ourselves. Don't let us lower the standards. We've been purged of our sins, cleansed, justified, sanctified, and released into the system. May you be found as the Christ in your family. May you be found as a Christ at your workplace. May you be found as a Christ in the marketplace. When we have done that, then they'll come to us and ask us how we've been able to do that. And we'll tell them that it's not by might, nor by strength, but by the power that we receive after having had an encounter with an open heavens. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. As you set to start changing things, be sure that you'll be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, if you read Romans chapter 1, the sins that are coming, we can't even dream of, because the Bible says people invent. So every day, every time, new things that will cause us to corrupt will come. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. What have you learned? And what have you become convinced of? Why are you serving God? Is it not for the heaven that you've been promised? Is it not because God, through Jesus, purchased you and set you apart so you become the salt and the light? Then why are we soiling our garments? As Christians, our old life has been taken off, and a new garment like that of the doctors have been put on us. As I conclude, ask yourself. Our mothers have seen two beautiful ladies here wearing white. If you are in a white apparel, will you sit at where, excuse my language, fetus has spilled oil? Will you play at where there is oil all over, knowing that from there you go back to your office? No doctor, no nurse who wants to work in that capacity as a nurse or doctor, having put on his white apparel, will perch, play, dine, and walk around where his garment will be soiled. Therefore, I want to challenge you. As you live here, be purposed in your mind. Be careful how you talk. Be careful where you go. Be careful how you conduct yourself. Then after you have done that, you'll be sure that the glory that has come on you will really work miracles in your life. May the good Lord bless us all.
Shall we please kindly be on our feet? If you can. If you can. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me, that makes me white.
We will sing this song again. Does your voice correlate with your hands? This is Jacob's voice, but the hands are that of Esau. The key thing here is obedience. When we obey his word, we will never be found wanting when we are put on the scale. We are praying for obedience to the word of God. Number two, every seed that falls to the ground must die. And once it dies, it can now germinate, flourish, and blossom. So, when Jesus was buried in the water, he died. So when Jesus was now coming out of the water, a new life, and the heavens opened. Unless we die to self, self, unless we die to self, we can never achieve these standards. Pray for obedience. Pray that you die to self. For once you are buried and you die, you can resurrect when you blossom and flourish. Again. Again.
Precious is that
the blood of Jesus.
to pray. Le kanda, anda le siri, anda le. Rokondo le kata. Inde li kanda rakanda. We are found wanting, O God. We are found wanting when we place ourselves on the scales. And when you place us on your scales, we will be found wanting. We pray for obedience. We pray that we die to self. We pray, O God, that we'll be able to meet your standards when we obey. We will not sacrifice when we have not obeyed. We will obey before we sacrifice. We will put more premium on obedience than sacrifice. We ask for your help, O God, that we will die to self. That we will die to self. That the dishonesty, the greediness, the envy, the jealousy will all go away after we have died to self. We are crucified with you. And we are not on our own. But you do take the pace for us. We are praying this last prayer. The Bible says, we are crucified with him. If we are crucified with him, our hands are crucified. There is no point releasing a crucified hand to steal. It can never occur. We are crucified with Christ. We are praying that the Spirit of God will brood over us. There are good things in us. May the good things come out to overshadow the evil things that we do and that we think about. There is good in us. There is good in you. Pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Father, we thank you for your word that came to us. Thank you for reminding us of your own precepts and prompting us to walk in them. We pray for the grace to walk in the light of your word. We pray that you will endue us with strength from above, that we will live pure lives, lives of integrity that pleases you. We pray that we will not walk in our own wisdom, that we shall not rationalize our evil ways, but we will yield ourselves wholly and truthfully to your will and to your word. If any of us have found ourselves in walking in ways that have not pleased you, and we have much difficulty, O God, walking in your word, this morning we surrender totally to you. And we ask that Spirit of God fill us and give us strength to overcome. In the name of Jesus, touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our spirits, O God. And as in this week you have opened the heavens unto us, touch our character as well. Let the world see us and see your light around us. We thank you for answered prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb, 'tis a glory. church. Without spots or wrinkles. Washed in the blood. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Just a glorious church. Without spots or wrinkles. Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
It is the glorious church.
Just a glorious church. Without spots or wrinkles.
Washed in the blood.
Without spots or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Tis a glorious church, without spots or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Tis a glorious church, without spots or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It is a glorious church. Without spots or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Tis a glorious church.
Without
spots or wrinkle,
it is washed in the blood
of the Lamb.
This is a glorious church.
Without spots or wrinkle,
it is washed in the blood
of the Lamb.
Tis a glorious
church.
Without spot or wrinkle.